I have three messages, and I'm not sure which would be appropriate to give here today. The three things I have to share, of course I can't share them all with you today. One, which I think I'm going to do, has to do with the, shall we say, a silent revolution which is taking place in our country today. We're in the midst of a revolution, whether you know it or not. Or, I wanted to say something about leadership, since we are installing deacons today. But my suspicion is Ken's probably going to say something about that. Is that your thought, Ken? Yeah, okay, so I'm going to not do that. And then, Tim asked me if I would say something occasionally about the pregnancy centers and their ministry. So, wanting to know what the Lord would have me to do here today. Well, I'll start with the pregnancy center and that information there, and then maybe we'll get back to the current event sermon about the terrible condition that our country is in today. All right, so why don't we start with a prayer, and then we'll get into these things. Our Father, we ask now that you would guide us as we have assembled, that this, the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, a special day that we will separate ourselves from the busyness of life, from the secular pursuit of money and all the things that we do, and use this day to focus on you, to rest our bodies and to gather together that we may worship, that we may focus on your grace, mercy that you have given to us in your Son, the Lord Jesus. May this be a great day today of encouraging one another, building each other up. It's a wonderful day of instilling deacons. Thank you for raising up these two men to serve in this church in this great way. So this is an exciting day for us, and we want to say thank you, and we ask that you will guide us in all that we say and do. For I pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, well, Tim asked if I would say a couple things about a pregnancy center. Now, I assume that maybe you're thinking about either supporting one or you want some information about it, how it works. So I was involved with one. I am now in an indirect way, but I was on the board of a pregnancy center. It was the Delaware County Pregnancy Center. And I was on the founding board that actually established this center back in the 80s. And how that began really was just from a prayer meeting. Three men came together, and we knew of the atrocity of abortion in our land. And we've seen this ruin families. Obviously, every abortion is the death of a person, human being. And we knew something should be done. So we came together and just prayed. Lord, direct us. What should we do about this atrocity in our land? And we would talk to other pastors and try to get the word out that we're having a special meeting about this atrocity in our land as the abortion policy in America. Gradually, one thing led to another. Other pastors would join us. We'd have various meetings. Again, we would spend a lot of time in prayer. But after some significant time, we took a great step in formalizing an organization called the Delaware County Pregnancy Center. And we started that in meekness and fear, shall we say, did not know how far it would go. So we just let the word out and spoke to other pastors in the community about it. We had numerous community prayer meetings. And the day came when we thought, yes, we're going to take this step and open up a pregnancy center. And so we did, and we were able to recruit a director. We put together a board, and off we went, Delaware County Pregnancy Center. We rented an office in Chester, Pennsylvania, just a small little office, and it had a side room where we hopefully we could use that for an examination room. And then we moved from that office to a bigger office, and then eventually we bought a house and renovated that and set that up for offices, meeting rooms, and the various things that we needed to run a pregnancy center. We continued to preach and to teach in the various churches who would invite us. We would, as missionaries, go to the local churches and present our ministry, present our need, and one by one, the Lord would add to our fellowship. We were getting support. We were able to actually keep the house open, pay the bills, and I'll tell you, we had special meetings almost weekly to pay the bill, pay the electric bill, pay the heat bill, and support our director. And so very gradually, things built one upon another. We would get resistance. Occasionally, every once in a while, we would receive a little resistance from the community, but not much. Not much, and we were able to deal with that, and God would either send in a lawyer who knew our situation and would present our ministry to the legal considerations of the community, and so we're off and running. Delaware County Pregnancy Center is still functioning today. As a matter of fact, they received a new director. Now, over the years, I think we've probably had about 3 or 4 directors, and I just met the new girl that's our director now. I really don't know her well. I met her when we had a special meeting in the summer, and I met her quickly because a lot of things were going on, but she seems like she's going to be very good. But we needed, obviously, support for a pregnancy center is always the constant need. And the way our center worked, we had support from the churches. We let ourselves know what our ministry was to the local churches. Secondly, we had a yearly banquet, and we call it the annual banquet for the Delaware County Pregnancy Center. So the churches that were supporting us, they understood what it was about. Their members would come and attend the banquets, and also they would make financial donations, which was very helpful. And then the other method of raising support would be a walk, the Delaware County Pregnancy Center walk. And again, the people who came to do the walk were members of our supporting churches. And then they would invite their friends. You know, you want to go for a walk in a park? You know, and so we would, every mile you walk, you would earn a certain amount of income for the pregnancy center. So those three things, the churches, prayer meetings, the banquet, and the walk, 4 things, was our financial support. And again, that's going back, you know, I don't know, I wanted to look up my old files and find out exactly when the pregnancy center opened. It was in the 80s, early 80s, and we're still functioning. And it was, you know, it was touch and go for years. Are we going to be able to be open next month? Can we pay the director next month? But it kept us on our knees. And now in the meantime, what's happening? Young women are coming in. Now, many times they come and they think they're going to get insight on how to get an abortion. Many times they think that's what it is, Delaware County Pregnancy Center. Oh, good, they're going to, I can go into them and they'll show me how I can get this abortion. Of course, we counsel them otherwise. And then over the years, you would not imagine the situations that these young women come in with all kind of problems and difficulties. The one that I remember the most, and this is not uncommon. Women come in, they're interviewed by our director, and one of the questions which they ask is, do you know who the father is? And numerous times the girl will say, she says, no, I don't know. It's either my boyfriend or my father. And yeah, can you imagine that? And this is like with regularity, and this is the way to see where we are located in Chester, Pennsylvania, which is not the most glamorous city in which to be established, but that's where the action is. We want to go where the action is, and that's where it is. And so these kinds of things our directors are working with. So that's part of the ministry of the pregnancy center. And part of the ministry of the Christian community, dealing with this atrocity in our land, setting up, or I don't know your technical plans are. It may be to support a center, good. Maybe you're interested in starting one, good, praise God, and I'll be happy to help you any way I can. The other part of dealing against this evil of abortion is through protests. So now I'm going to move from the pregnancy center, which is more of a positive approach, to maybe you might call it more of a negative approach to the curse of our land of abortion. And that is participating in protests. And I got involved in doing this. Because again, if we are, because at a protest, really what you're doing is just an unusual venue where you can preach the gospel. That's the way I looked at it. That's the way I used it. What we would do is on a Saturday, go into Philly in front of the abortion clinic, and we would go there with signs, you know, abortion is murder, or the various things that, you know, little signs you want to say. My faithful wife is here holding up a bottle of water saying, you need some water? She knows I do. Thank you, my dear. What? Not yet, but I may be later, so be ready. That's a good girl there. She knows what I need, and she's supplying all this. This is very good. Now, so where was I? Excuse me while I fix this thing came loose here. Let's see here. So we're talking about going into Philly with a sign. Also, we had public prayer during the walk, and we'd be in front of an abortion clinic. And you know, you see this all the time. The boyfriend or the father, he drives up, almost pushes the girl out the door, and he drives away. Now she's left there to have to deal with all the issues, and that was very common. And then, you know, the father very rarely gave support to these women. They would just kick them off to the side of the street and leave, and that would be it. So in addition to holding the sign, we also had tracts as people walked by. There are many people just daily business in Philly. We'd hand out tracts and get in conversations there. And then I got the idea of getting a bullhorn and preaching from the corner with a bullhorn. So we did. So we purchased this. Where do we get the bullhorn, Vicki? Remember, where do we get? We got that at one of the local stores. It was a nice bullhorn. It was a big bullhorn, and you had a little microphone. You could speak into it, and boy, it magnified your voice everywhere. So I would bring that. And we did this once a month. We'd go into Philly, and so in front of the abortion clinic, and preach the gospel. For God so loved the world. And meanwhile, there's other, now we had maybe 15, 20 people. And that wasn't just me. Around 15, 10, 15, sometimes 20 people, around handing out tracts, holding signs. And I would be there, for God so loved the world that he gave, and people would stop and listen many times. Some people, you know, resisted. And every time we would set up, the police came by. Now, the police were there actually to support us. They were there making sure that no one interrupted our freedom to speak. And I'll never forget this one time. We're there, and you know, I'm preaching, and a policeman comes up, he said, hey, let me see you a minute. I'm like, boy, so I'm in trouble now. He said, no, we're getting all kind of calls because your bullhorn is really loud and it's echoing throughout the community. And he said, now you can do one of two things. You can either turn it down and continue to preach, or leave it like it is and continue to preach. And then he walked away. I know what he was doing. He wanted me to continue to preach, but he had an obligation, you know, to approach me. Many of the policemen that were there were in favor of what we were doing, but they could not show favor. They had to sort of make an appearance as if they were neutral, but they were always very gentle and very kind to us, as I'll elaborate in a few minutes. So that was what we would do. We would do this, once a month. And now here's another thing you find out. When you're doing this kind of thing, if you have a real presence, many women will drive up to have the abortion, and they won't do it. They don't want to get involved in all of this. So they get back into the car and they go away. Now, a percentage of those women who do not carry through going into the abortion clinic never return to get an abortion. In other words, they have the child. And this has been borne out statistically over the years. Every time there is what you call a rescue, and that is you're in front of the abortion clinic, handing out tracts, preaching the gospel, a certain percentage of those women will not go through with the abortion, and their babies will be born. And I'll tell you now, probably right now, there are maybe 30 to 50 people walking the earth right now who were scheduled to die, but their lives were saved through the work here and throughout the country. These things are going on. Let me see, what else could I share with you here? Then there was the time when there was a special rescue planned. And the leader said, now look, we're going to have a rescue, here's a certain date, and we want only those who are willing to risk arrest. What's that mean? So I inquired. And so what they would do is, and again, this would be maybe 50 people. And some people flew in from over the country to join in this, what they call a rescue. And so we would just line up in front of the door of the abortion clinic and just pray. Now, we'd be on our knees praying, but there'd be, as I say, 50 people in front of the door. So it caused a traffic jam in downtown Philadelphia, and people really couldn't get to the door. And so we're doing this, and so the girls who want to go in to have an abortion can't get in. No, we're not holding anybody, we're just there, but we're praying. And so this is going on. And then after about 20 minutes of this, we look up, and coming down Broad Street is the Philadelphia Police Department on their horses with batons in their hand. And I thought, uh-oh, we got a problem here. Just about a month earlier, a rescue took place in Atlanta, Georgia, very similar to what we're doing. And the cops came and they started actually beating the protesters. It was really a gruesome thing. That did not happen in Philly. My experience in Philly, the policemen were always very, I have to stress this, they were always very polite and gentle with us. And I was obviously happy about that, but just so amazed that this is the kind of treatment that we were receiving. So we would carry on like this. These things would occur. So the police came on this one particular day. They would come. Now, again, I'm on my knees with others praying for the Lord to prevent the abortions and many things. And so a policeman came to me. He said, sir, would you please stand up? Now, many of the protesters, I didn't do this, I don't think that's the best thing, but many of the protesters won't get up. And so the policeman has to actually pick them up, and I didn't do that. Would you please get up? So I would get up. No, please come with me. So I go with him, and they put you in a paddy wagon. And there's like maybe 10, 12 people, and eventually they fill up the paddy wagon. It's like you sit like in a U shape. Load that up, and off you go. Now, I have no idea where I'm going. Now, I mentioned to Vicki before I left the house early that morning. I said, there's a chance I may be arrested today. So, now, you know what? You got to have a good supportive wife to go through this, because this is not easy to go through. And Vicki's tremendous. She's tough. She's a tough woman, I tell you. You don't want to get on the wrong side of her. You're dead if you do. No, she was always very supportive. Okay, so we go into the paddy wagon, and they drive for about 20 minutes. I'm trying to figure, where are we? I'm trying to figure out where we're going. We're turning here, turning there. Finally get to the destination. They open up the door, the back door of the paddy wagon. You get out, and you're in a room. Maybe, it's called the roundhouse in Philly. Maybe twice the size of this. It's like a big garage, but the shape of it is like in a circular fashion. So we get out, and over in the corner, there is a light and a chair. And the officer says, no, go over there. And they never tell you what they're going to do. They just tell you, just give you commands and you got to do it. You don't know what's coming. So, okay, so here we walk over here. to the chair and to the light. You sit in the chair, and what they're doing is they're taking your mugshot. So, you know, smile for the camera, you know, so they take your picture. Then they take your shoelaces off your shoes, put them in the locker, and then another officer comes and he just says, "Follow me." You know where you're going. "Follow me." So here we follow him down the hall, and we're going into the jail cell. So as we're walking down the hall, to one side is just a brick wall. On the other side, there's jail cells. And I'm thinking, hope they're not for us, right? And sure enough, they were. They opens up the door. You in here. So about four of us go into a jail cell. Oh my goodness, what am I doing in a jail cell, for crying out? And when am I going to get, how am I going to get out? So that took place maybe around 12 o'clock noon. We started around 8 or 9 in the morning. So by the time all these things took place, it's about 12 noon. And now I'm in this jail cell with three other people. And these were other people from out of town who do Christian people. Now, I must tell you, many of them were Catholics. I'd say the majority of them were Catholic people. Because I hate to tell you this, the Catholics understand this better than the Protestants do, what's taking place, and they actually deal with it. Anyway, so I'm there with them. So we introduce ourselves to each other, not knowing how long you're going to be there and how we're going to get out. I have no idea. So there we are. So one of the fellows that was there said, "Now look, don't worry about this, you're okay." I said, "What do you mean I'm in jail? What do you mean I'm okay?" He said, "I've done this three or four times in different parts of the country, and they'll hold you temporarily, and after a while they'll let you out." All right, well, let me say, okay, well, that's 12 o'clock. Okay, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5. He's going to let me out when? 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, a guard comes with some food. And we each got a bologna sandwich and a 6-ounce cup of iced tea. And I must tell you something. That was the best bologna sandwich I ever ate. Boy, was that good. Because by that time, you're starving, you're nervous, you don't know what's going to happen. And so that was nice. I really ate that. It was really good and all that. So we went through that. That was about 6 o'clock. 7 o'clock, another officer comes by and he says, "Now, you can make one phone call." Okay, so he leads us to the phone. You know, and I called Vicky and let her know where I was. And do you know what? I don't know what I said. What did I say, Vicky? Anything? Yeah. Yeah. See, you got nerves of steel to be, do what she does. I'll tell you, she's fantastic. And you know what? If I did not have her support, I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't have done it. You know, if she said, "Oh no, don't do it. I don't want you to," then I probably wouldn't have done this. But she gave me the liberty to do these things, and to do, because in ministry you're going to get called to do all kind of things, all kind of hours, and it takes a special woman to stand in there and support their man. And she does. I want to tell you, I want to thank you publicly, dear. You do a tremendous job. And if it wasn't for you and your willingness and strength, I wouldn't be here today, quite frankly. So where are we now? So we get iced tea. Okay, now then, 8 o'clock, it's getting late. 9 o'clock, I thought you said we're going to be out in an hour or two. Well, I don't know. And again, going back to what happened in Atlanta a month earlier, after they were hit and beat, they were put in jail. They were held for like weeks. And I'm thinking, if I'm held for weeks, I said, "Lord, you know, I'm here. You got to protect it." Okay, so what happened? 12 o'clock at night, officer comes by, unlocks the door, says, "Follow me." They don't tell you where you're going, what they're going to do. "Follow me." Okay, here we go. Follow, don't know. We go up steps, opens the door, walk into a room, and it's a courtroom. And there's the judge behind the desk, you know, ready to do some. So now what's this? So this is the arraignment, 12 o'clock at night. And the judge says, "Now," and we're all lined up in front of the judge, "Now you are charged with," and there are about three charges against. I don't really remember what they are. I do have them written down somewhere, but I'm going to find those records. three charges against us. Now, if you are found guilty, $1,000 fine, 2 years in jail. Oh, man. Okay. So, he explains all this. Now you're free to go. And they give you a day for the court case. Now this is like in July or August when we did the rescue. So you had the rest of the summer to go through, and then waiting in September we had the trial. So now you wonder what's going to happen with this trial, and oh man. So, but it's part, you know, it's part of the Lord's training too. I mean, the Lord spoke to me and taught me some things as I was going through this. So it comes time for the trial. Okay, so we go down to the court there in Philly. And all of the people who were there were all involved, were all sitting there. And then the prosecuting attorney, you know, he would say that, now that guy over there, why, who stood in front of the door and that woman tried to get in, he couldn't get in, and that guy over there, and of course he's pointing at me, that guy over there, I wanted to shrink up, you know, he did this, he did that. Now, fortunately, our lawyer was very good defending this kind of an event. He, in fact, this is his specialty, defending pro-life people. And he was a Catholic man in theology, but he traveled throughout the country standing up for pro-life movement. So he knew exactly how to make his arguments, how to defend us. So the trial lasted for 2 days. So one all day, and you go home, and next day come back. Oh, how many long is this going to go? So about midway through the second day, the judge calls the lawyers to the bench. They have a talk, and then the judge says, he gets the gavel, slam. All charges are dropped. Case is over. That's it. It's all over. Everybody gets up. You know, we go home. So that was quite an ordeal. That's something I learned from that. I know, but you know what I learned from that? Just trust the Lord. Do what is right and trust the Lord. And I've learned that lesson many times, to do what the Lord calls you to do, and regardless of what happens. And sometimes we want to make the outcome comfortable and so forth, and sometimes that'll happen and sometimes it won't. So that's my experience with pro-life movement, pregnancy centers, from raising a center to street ministry and so forth. And so now I don't know exactly what your plan is. I think your plan is to do something getting involved in the pro-life movement, whether to have a pregnancy center or maybe just to support one. And that would be good too. If you're looking for a missionary to support, you know, find out who your local pregnancy centers are. I would say, yes, Ken.
Well, the church is already supporting them.
Oh, good. Good. All right, good, great. And supporting as much as you can. And also, and here's something else. Call them once in a while. Call the director and just check in. How are you doing today? Do you guys need anything? Please know we're praying for you. Because really, it's a lonely ministry. You're there and you get a lot of opposition, a lot of resistance. And so whoever the director is of the local pregnancy center here, send them a card once in a while. Let them know you're thinking about them, you're praying for them. In fact, have them come and speak, get them speak and share with the congregation what's going on. That will encourage them, because that director thinks, unless he hears from people, he thinks he's in that battle all by himself. He or she, many times it's a woman or him, and they think they're in the battle by themselves. Nobody really cares. And then they get discouraged. So the great ministry you can do here, not only to support them financially, but also... support them socially, communicate with them, invite them, maybe when you're gonna have a church dinner or something, invite them. Say, hey, we really appreciate what you're doing. We're having a dinner on a certain date. Why don't you come? And or just walk in one day and say, hi, how are you doing? Let you know we're praying for you. Do you have any special needs? We would like to help you. And I'll tell you, it would be, again, I don't know how the depth of the church, how much you are involved, but if you're not that much involved, get involved. It'll be a blessing to you personally. It'll be a blessing to the church. It'll be a blessing to the community. Anybody have a question about that you'd like to ask? Yes, gentleman in the back. Yes, Ken.
I guess you were never felt led to block the door of an abortion clinic a second time, huh?
A second time, what do you mean?
Like to do that again.
Oh, would I do it again? I would do it again. As a matter of fact, the Lord knows, I've said, you know, in my prayer, I'm not going around looking for opportunities, but if the opportunity comes my way, I would do it. If someone said, Don, we're having a rescue, we need some help, will you join us? I would do that. Yeah, because I haven't really been involved recently. As a matter of fact, I'm putting this together, I'm thinking, you know, I really haven't been involved that much recently. So I'm not really looking, shall we say, for trouble, but if it comes, I would do it. Yeah, yes. Yes. Yeah.
Once a month.
Yes. We did that, yes. Yes.
And now, then we went to the Philly when we had gathered other people who were interested in going, then we would go to do that. The local area and our community, we did that.
Yes. Thanks for reminding me of that, Vicki. Yes. So actually, twice a month we addressed this issue. We did it once locally. There was a pregnancy center there in Westchester. Planned Parenthood, yes, in Westchester. And then we would go to the one in Philly and protest there. The one locally in Westchester, it's the same thing. We do the same thing. Had the signs. Now in Westchester it was different. People come by in their cars and they yell profanity. Who cares? So, but we never really had major resistance in Westchester. People would give us nasty looks, say things, but that didn't do it. Yes?
So, you're talking about really good ministry of picketing the abortion clinic. And I've been involved in that various times down through the years.
Uh-huh.
I never got arrested, never blocked the door, never felt led to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
My daughter's very involved with that and sidewalk counseling. She takes her babies out.
Yeah. Sidewalk counseling. Good point. Yes. A lot of sidewalk counseling goes on, meaning, as the poor girl's going to go in, you greet them there and talk to them quickly. You have just a few minutes to say something. And that's a real baby you have in you. It's not just a bunch of cells that they're trying to tell you. This is a human being. Things like that. That's a great ministry, Ken, doing that, the sidewalk counseling. I forgot to mention it. Yes?
Do they have special training for people who are interested in that, where they might hit a few points when they are, somebody comes up? I mean, how do you approach somebody? Do they approach you?
Yeah. You'll get that once in a while.
Is there like a place for somebody that trains you to do sidewalk?
There should be. I really never had any. A lot of it's just really common sense, but you got to be careful you don't overreact. People want to come in and get in your face, and you just let them do their thing. And so I never really reacted to them. And the people that I was around, now we really handled it pretty well, actually, that I thought. And see, now there's a stigma to this, and maybe even some of you may be thinking, what's that? He's a Christian and he's doing that. Well, yeah, I can understand your argument. But also, what I do also know is a baby's going to lose its life. And I'm just not going to stand there and say, okay, it's a shame. But I mean, you can. If you're called just to pray, good. That's what the real power is. But I would think also that I would try to stop it. Yes. Yes, Planned Parenthood primary. Now they do give counseling in other areas, but their primary thing is the abortion.
They don't do any other women's health.
Yeah, I don't. I have not been involved in it for a while. They may have a little bit of branching off in that area, but that's not the major. Their major work is to deal with the abortion. But they do offer counseling.
Well, we just found out that his brother was married to a girl that works at Planned Parenthood, she's a nurse.
Okay.
And I said, oh, you do abortions? And she said, well, no, that's not all you do. And I don't think she wanted to.
Yeah. She didn't really want to get into it. That's what they do. I know. Yeah. Yes.
So,
oh, yeah.
I
yeah.
So
yeah.
I just didn't have to handle it yet. Pray about that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a sticky little situation because of family issues and all that. Mm-hmm. I know. We've been in that too. Believe I made a lot of enemies doing this. Trust me. But hey, I want to stand for the Lord and for righteousness. And if I get kicked out of the family or suffer, then so be it. Yes. Yeah.
And to they do not get pregnant and stuff like that. They get that. But the other thing is, we.
Hey, Vicky, come up here and stand. Come on, because I'm thinking about something you're saying. Come on up here. You might want to make a couple of comments from a woman's point of view. Now I'm hearing from the man's point of view. This is how much time do we have, by the way? What time is it?
10:37.
10:30. I got it. Okay. So I'm going to ask Vicky Cold. She didn't expect to do this, so. You can always expect that. From a woman's point of view, what you want to say anything?
Well,
what you see?
When I started, after we got married, I joined to help out.
Yeah.
I was trained as a counselor.
Yeah.
And I had clients try and keep track of them and to talk to them. Talk to them. And I remember one lady came in and she said, we cannot afford another child. It's their own child. They have three. And they said they're not able to help and care for this child. And I tried to tell her that God has given you this child, and if you bring it full term and raise the child, God will provide. And she's supposed to be a Christian, and I told her, do not be afraid to carry this child full term and take care of it and have a larger family. That this child, God will provide. He has given you this child, and it's going to be a blessing. And she was so inclined to have the abortion. And I said, well, if you can't care for the child, you could give it to adoption because there are many people who are looking for children. And so I don't know, I talked to her several times, but one appointment, she didn't come back, so I tried to get a hold of her. I never found out what happened, But also, we're trained to counsel them and to pray for them, to connect with them so that, we can help them in this case, in whatever they're dealing with, the stress of the situation. And it would be good to have the husband come in and talk to them and everything, but that never happened. But the other thing is, that was the first, she was Betty Luke, she was the first director, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We've gone through
three or four, yeah.
They stay about 10, 15 years at the most,
about
and
that.
Then they get wiped out and they move on to something else. So I've gone through meeting a lot of directors, and he's been there since, when he retired, he had been there 30-something years.
A long time. Now, what I'm thinking is you're talking. Do you and maybe you can tell the people, remember about the girl that we took in?
Oh, yeah.
Tell them about that. Look at that girl we took in.
At this point, we're living in Aston in a three-bedroom house,
yeah.
I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
With four kids, right? He tells me, he said, there's this girl who needs a place to stay. She's pregnant, no support. And he said, I think we could take her in. And I'm thinking, where are we going to put her? We have four kids. Okay, and he said, would you like to meet her? And he brought her over, and we met her at our house. And what we had was one son was living, his bedroom was in the laundry room. So we took him, and he roomed with his other brother, And it was the bedrooms were small, but anyway, so we put her in the laundry room. And she was supposed to stay 2 weeks. She was there 3 months.
But remember now,
we tried to listen to her and talk to her and to find out more about her, if she's willing to talk and to meet her needs and pray with her, show her that that the Lord is there for her, and that, you know, as minister and wife, we try the best to care for her, to make sure that she doesn't have to be worried about what's going to happen. We'll find, make sure the support is there. Someone, they're always, we're always looking for people, parents, that will help a person like that in that position, because she had no support, no family support. So, but by coincidence, her name was Vicky also.
Yeah, oh, that's right, it was, yeah, yeah. And so, she was an unwed mother, yeah.
Yeah, so we took care of her, and she was, you know, comfortable, and our kids did well, you know, they're used to having strangers stay with us, and so she was good. But to bring it to today, the new director that is at the Delaware County Pregnancy Center, her name is Destiny. And she said she, in her ministry, expanding it to include the husband or the man who has impregnated the woman. But the other thing is she's bringing into, trying to include the, if they are willing, if the guy is willing to counsel, get together, she's willing to get them together. So she's training young men, Christian men, older men and younger men, to meet with them and to counsel them and help them through the situation. But also she's bringing the parents into the situation, the mother and father of the one side or both sides, whatever, if they're willing. So she's been training, expanding the ministry, training the men, older men, who are willing to talk to the parents and tell them, if you have questions, what's going to happen, how the support works. They always have, they also have a boutique for, clothing for the baby, for the mother, any needs. What they do is that when they come in to come to meetings.
Watch your time.
For care, for support, different things, they would get the little baby bus and they would go and be able to purchase things through these little tickets and things like that. So she did expanding. She was really good.
She was good, yeah.
To include the whole family and the men and involved and so on.
Vicky, Lisa has a question. Take Lisa's question over there. They don't want to take care of them.
Well,
the mothers don't want to take them.
They
have
a lot of times a woman has a plan for her life.
Right.
That's not inclusive to the child.
Yeah. Also,
they feel that this is not in my plans. They'll think about God. Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And so, also, one other thing.
Yeah.
It's very lucrative industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
These doctors make a lot of money in a weekend, thousands of dollars on a weekend.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's pray. We need to pray and end our service. Or rather, we want to say thank you for saving us. Thank you for keeping us saved. We look forward to being in heaven with you. But right now, we're here to worship you, to serve you. Guide us today in this worship, this special service coming up, oh Lord. We pray that you will be be involved, and thank you for raising up these great men to give leadership to the church. We call down your blessing on them. Guide us in our next service, we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.